Sturgoy, Zach 2.0, Sturzak, Sturzak 2, Sturgoy 2.0, Sturzak 2.0, Sturzak, Sturgoy, Zach 2.0, Sturzak, Sturzak, Sturgoy 2.0.
Welcome to Got Your Milk! FX is the Strain Podcast. My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM at Fit and Trim on Twitter. And with me, as always,
still,
is somebody who complains that it's hot when it's in the 50s. It's Mork. Mork, how you doing?
Oh, Bubba, I'm good. I don't know how I'm doing, actually. This is a lot to it's a lot to take in. A lot. Well, we saw it.
I got something which will cheer you up.
What's that?
We've spent 4 years of our lives categorizing the strain. Every episode we've done a podcast on, and we have reached The Last Stand. Season 4, Episode 10, The Last Stand, the last episode ever of The Strain. We have so much fun we're going to go through tonight. We got some great feedback as some of our double L's.
Double L's.
Our loyal listeners. You guys were very excited about reaching the end. We're going to reach the end of The Strain. And so, we've got to start it off the way we've started off every single Got Your Milk podcast.
Mm-hmm. For the 40th and final time.
Well, no, there were 13 episodes the first season. So this is, how many episodes have they done? How many hours have we enjoyed this? So 13 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10 is
75.
43 hours.
43.
So what are you going to give? What's your episode ranking of The Last Stand out of 10, Mork?
Well, and just to be clear, we're focusing at first just on this episode.
Just this episode.
Not the show as a whole.
Right.
I am going to give it, based on tonight only, I'm going to give it 8, what I like to call, double Z's.
Double Z's?
Zero Zacks.
Ground zero Zacks.
Ground zero Zacks. I actually, there were some slow parts.
Okay.
And, you know, in the middle, but I thought the end was actually pretty well executed. I did not see that particular end coming. Mm-hmm. That was cool. I was excited at what happened to our boy F. Finally, he has a reason for not enjoying his milk that I can get behind at least. So yeah, I did definitely enjoy it. Bubba, what about you?
Well, how many seasons of The Strain have we watched?
4.
So I'm going to give this 4 out of...
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
Man.
I'm kidding. This went out with a bang, but it was an interesting bang. I didn't think this was the best episode. Certainly not the best battle episode The Strain has ever done. They've had so many good ones. The battle from New York comes to mind as one of their great battle episodes. The battle of Justine Feraldo's
office.
Yeah. There were so many great battles. So I didn't think this was the greatest battle.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I love to tease and mock our characters, I have grown some bizarre affection for them.
Oh, sure.
A bit like...
And they to you.
Yes, I was going to say, they really have. So I still have to point out for this episode, it's only a 7. So I'm going to give it 7
All right.
Double A's out of 10.
Double A's?
Atomic anticlimaxes. Meaning an atomic bomb went off.
Yeah.
But it went so... It went so according to our plan of our heroes. Our heroes have always failed at their plans.
Yeah.
Our heroes have always failed at their plans.
Mm-hmm.
So the very fact that they successfully did one, F threw up a switcheroo in there.
Sure.
But the fact that they effectively executed a plan and executed the master.
Yeah.
For those double E's, excellent executions.
All right.
I'm going to go up to 7. There were parts which I'm quite honest, it was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we saw them go out and kill the master, something they hadn't been able to do. Bravo to everybody.
Bravo, indeed. It would have been fun. I mean, there were a couple of hints of like, oh, you know, the master hasn't heard the name Abraham Cetrakian for the last time.
Oh, yeah.
And Cetrakian's sword, I was kind of hoping would be part of this, was never part of it.
Quinlan, Borno.
Yeah.
/ Strabone. His sword was sitting there and ended up not doing anything.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Now, I should point out for our listeners, Mork, I asked you,
I think last week during the podcast, I know during the episode as we were watching tonight, I said, if Zach 2.0 kills the master, will that be satisfactory? You said no. Sure enough, Zach 2.0 kind of kills him twice. He kills the Palmer master.
He does kill him twice.
Kills the actual Red Worm master, and yet you still gave it an 8. So you were able to ride with Zach.
Ah, man, that is
taking our hero out.
That is a low blow. I would say the first, when you asked the question, I think I imagined that the master would still be the Palmer master. So
right.
That in of itself wasn't great, but I really did like the fact that
F master
became the master, and then Zach took him out because, after all, he does love him. So,
well, let's get to before we even break down the episode, let's get to some of the great feedback some of our wonderful LL loyal listeners have given us. So Brev Foggy wrote on our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast. That's the word double, the single letter P, the word podcast, plural, facebook.com/doublepodcast. Brev wrote, "The master's wacky hijinks are almost over, but maybe we can still see Zach 2.0 get exploded by a bomb or something." So, Brev, you got what you wanted.
That was exactly that. Chip Mims writes, "I want to know how you write out that great Satrakian made when he went after Eichhorst."
And good LL Thomas Clapper tried to spell it out.
Yes.
Thomas wrote, "The more I listen to the Satrakian go off, the more it sounds like the beginning part of Why I Oughta Blah, 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 Blah." Very good.
Yeah.
And then finally, I think one of these wonderful loyal listeners who's been with us since the very beginning, Susan Monk, on our Facebook page, Susan wrote, "Are you guys going to do a look back at the series, perhaps handing out some, quote, Milky Awards?"
Aww.
So I thought during this podcast, before we give away the prize we're going to give to our loyal listeners for giving us iTunes reviews, I thought I would start the Milky Awards, and I'll have Mork, you vote, but listeners, you can override him. So you can agree with Mork's choice or on our Facebook page, or you can say, "I don't think so."
Listeners, if you don't agree that you should be able to override me, then override Bubba.
Okay. Well, listen, here. The Milky Award for the best version of the master.
Okay.
And the nominations are Zardu, the Polish nobleman from the 19th century afflicted with gigantism.
Aww.
The second nominee is Bolivar Master.
Yeah.
The third nominee is Navy SEAL version of the master. The fourth nominee, Palmer version of the master. And the fifth nominee, F. Goodweather version of the master. Those are your five nominees in the Best Version of the Master Award.
That's tough.
Podcast host extraordinaire Mork, who wins the Milky?
Man, if he would have had a larger opportunity, I would say F, but he did not.
Okay.
We hardly knew ye, so I'm going with your favorite rock star and mine, Bolivar. That was, he had a cool house.
Nice theater.
He never really got out of the rock and roll business. He was still, even when he became the master, was still talking about his tour and all that. And he had an excuse, I think, for some of the outfits where, like, I don't think really anyone else did. So I'm going Bolivar.
All right, so Bolivar is currently the leader in the Milky Awards and our choice. But yes, listeners, if you want to go for one of the other masters, go to our Facebook page and in the comments for this podcast, tell us if you agree or the Milky should have gone to a different version of the master.
Oh, man.
All right, Mork, let's just jump right in, and let's jump right into our heroes being in a lot of danger here at the starting of The Last Stand. Where we left off, we had our boy Quinlan Strabone Borno. He's at the top of the Empire State Building. He's surrounded by pretty weak ass, aka typical Sturgoy. Like you said last week, why aren't there mongrels there or something that could really battle
And we did not see a mongrel tonight.
I don't know if we saw a feeler get killed, like the infamous little feeler who we loved. But our other heroes were out on the street. They had two vans. One had the nuke in it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're on Lexington and 29th Street. Ooh, boy, that's a great part of town
in
Manhattan.
Rough neighborhood, yeah.
And they just see a boatload of, well, of course, not a boatload because Strigoi's can't go on a boat.
Yeah.
They see an awful lot of Strigoi coming down the street.
This is always a fun setup. And the way that they did this when they're coming down, there's a few, I don't know if you saw it, Bubba, but there's a few coming down from some of the
jumping off
fire escapes or light poles.
Love it.
That was really cool. Now, one thing that did not seem to survive last episode, in addition to Desai,
right,
was all that silver.
Well, we're going to see it a bit in the elevator shaft, but yeah, you're right. Why steal all that silver if you're not going to use it?
Yeah, I mean, some of the silver was in the elevator shaft, but really not as much as, you know, you're having a mass, one of these mob scenes. And some of this stuff is really fun, but, you know, none of these scenes lived up to the train,
right,
the Strigoi attacking the train.
I agree.
A couple of years ago, or some of the other great fight scenes we've seen, even when, you know, Silver Angel went out.
Great point.
That was a fun one.
Did you like the, hey, bruh, it's me, Gus, told our heroes, hey, you guys get back in the van, I got this, and theoretically volunteered him and his crew to do the last stand at the Alamo. I was wondering if his crew was like, wait, why aren't we getting in the van?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why'd you just let them go? You meant for me to get in the van too, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I liked it as much as all the people who got to leave liked that plan. But they, you know, they start firing away and they're doing a pretty good job.
And they have the best weapons. They have the best weapons.
Yeah,
finally they've got something that can really fire a lot of rounds. But you would think with this many Strigoi, that's just too many. And in fact, one of their crew, you know, the tongue worm gets him right in the throat.
Oh, yeah.
Gus gives him a grenade and says, hey, take out as many as you can. But there's Strigoi everywhere. Our heroes, Roman, hey, bruh, it's me, Gus.
Yeah.
And the guy whose name I can't remember, they just kind of stand there and watch their buddy blow people up.
Yeah.
And they aren't, like, running to escape. Run to escape, peeps.
Yeah, they seem to... I mean, that might have been watching him run into that crowd and blow himself up was probably more the most screen time he got on this show, because we didn't really see him at all before he got bit. And then he just runs into the fray. I mean, you know, God bless. He's a very brave man.
You know who else was very brave? The director of this episode, because they bravely show Abby getting decapitated again, even though we've already seen it, but from a different angle.
It was a different angle. I enjoyed it, and
it's like, in case you couldn't remember, Abby's dead.
Well, it's a good place to leave it off, and also I think it really pulls a lot of the Zach's emotional journey back into the Empire State. I mean, clearly. He, at the end of the day, sure, he sort of saved humanity, but he, you know, he got this little girl killed. He killed
a lot of people in the nuke. He killed her parents too, remember?
He killed her parents. So, I mean, I thought it was nice they brought that back. So the Master is communicating to Strabone in interesting fashion.
Yeah.
Sporadically.
Right. Whichever random Strigoi still lives, he's like, hey, son, it's me, the Master. You know, hey, I'm still here. And why did Strabone, he had those guns with him the whole time.
Yeah.
He could have killed those people anytime.
Well,
but instead he was holding his infamous sword for too long a time. And
Strabone is somebody who, it's sort of tricky with Strabone because he is like, you know, the ancients and also like the Master. He's got, and Eichhorst, he has these superpowers.
Oh, yeah.
And
he can go super fast.
He can do all this stuff, but he really has reason to because he knows he can always do it, you know? And
sure.
And really until tonight, he was able to, you know, really, I just don't know if we ever saw Strabone truly applying himself. I would have liked to have seen a little
certainly not in the first 2,000 years that he was hunting the Master.
Yeah, what the hell was that all about? What do you think you would try to do for 2,000 years if you could?
The mother form of this lovely Kelly.
All right, that's fair.
No, I'm obviously kidding. For 2,000 years, boy,
Strabone took any years off? Do you think he took, like, 500 years off?
Well,
at some
he did
point.
Take some time off hanging with Lydia and what was the other L name that he met in Jack the Ripper's time? He hung with them and goofed off for a bit.
Yeah, but it wasn't years. That was probably a couple weeks.
Since I'm trying to throw him a Strabono.
All right, fair enough.
All right, in fair honor of Abby, we're going to get to our next Abby. Got Your Milky Award.
Okay, all right.
And this category is Best Dead Woman, because women don't live on the Strain Award.
Oh, man.
Your nominees are...
That's tough.
Nora's mother's daughter, Nora.
Okay, all right.
Coco Marchand.
All right. I mean, yeah.
Justine Feraldo.
Who?
Joan Luss.
Oh, Congresswoman Joan Luss? Or Senator, no. Just rich woman Joan Luss.
I thought it maybe attorney Joan.
Yeah, okay.
The
Joan Luss Esquire.
The mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly.
Oh, boy.
Nora's mom.
Okay.
Charlotte.
Who? Charlotte's alive, though.
Oh, I was going to see if you would catch
you
that.
You son of a...
Wait, hold on. Okay.
Dirty pool.
Nikki Taylor.
I don't know what that is.
Nikki was... How could you forget? Nikki was Dutch's girlfriend.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair.
Lee Thomas. That was the woman F got busy with in D.C., as you obviously remember.
Of course, of course.
We have Gus's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Abby. So...
Wow.
What are you going to do? Which person do you like? In the Best Dead Woman, because women don't live on the Strain Award, who gets the Milky, Mork?
Oh, man. This is tough. I'm actually going to say I think the best one has to be Coco Marchand.
All right.
I mean, she made not only Palmer, but many of us giddy as a schoolboy. However, I would have liked to have seen Gus's mom more for longer. It just as a reminder, Gus, even after his mom had turned, Gus did not give up on his mom.
No.
He just kept her tied to a wheelchair and wearing a CPAP machine or something.
Yeah, an umpire's mask too, right?
Yeah. So, like, if he would have kept her for at least a season, that would have been, like, he just couldn't bear to let her go. That would have been pretty great. That didn't happen, so I'm going with Coco Marchand.
All right. I feel bad that the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly didn't win this award. Listeners, go to our Facebook page. Once again, tell us who deserves to win the Milky.
These are very, very prestigious awards.
A lot of people died for this award. Let's get back to the Strain. We see the Master.
Mm.
He's got his eyes glowing red. He's out looking for people.
Yeah.
And, of course, who interrupts him while he's out looking but Zach 2.0?
Zach 2.0 shows up, and he failed. And this is...
He failed to locate the nuclear warhead. Zach, you had one job.
One job,
You had one job, Zach.
One job did not work out. And this is one of those things where when this did not work out, and we talked about this a little bit last week.
Yeah.
Why did the Master at this point need to keep Zach 2.0 around? So we thought maybe it was because he was going to use Zach 2.0 as a host. But
right, yeah, that's honestly what I thought could happen.
But because he did keep him around, ultimately, it led to his downfall.
That's why, listeners...
Cut the cord.
Yeah.
Just
put your kids up for adoption.
Put them up for adoption, change the locks, move away.
And so the Master, he does some great parenting right now. The warhead you failed to locate, Jack 2.0.
Yeah.
Do you see your father for what he is? I told you he cares nothing for you.
Mm.
Only for himself. If you had touched his heart more deeply, innuendo, and he had come to the Empire State Building
Zach
himself.
Zach 2.0 doesn't know what innuendo means.
If you had touched his heart deeply, you know what I mean, Zach 2.0.
No, I don't.
Do you know what I mean?
Nope,
Zach?
I never will. Where are they, by the way?
They're in a real nice place, I'm going to assume, in Central Park. And as much as I enjoy the silliness of Zach 2.0 and the Master, this scene where they go out and the Master has amassed all his Turgoy, they're all in one place. That is a great shot. This is spectacle. We're spending money on this show.
Yeah, no, this is the kind of thing where, you know, on
and
the
I
one
wanted
hand,
to see that. I wanted to see this giant army of Strigoi.
Oh, for sure.
We need a giant ending.
Yeah.
And yet, somehow, despite the numbers of these Strigoi looking at in these bark, when suddenly he has to go to the bomb because he has to kill Quinlan. Suddenly he can't send all of them to the bomb. It never felt like we ever saw those numbers ever again. It was frustrating for me.
Right, yeah. And there needed to be... Yeah, that is a great point about why exactly is he putting himself in this position. It's like, well, we must destroy the bomb, but and until we do, I'm going to put myself in proximity of it.
Right.
You know, like, the Masters had better plans than this. And do you think that he was just, he had a little bit of deal fatigue? He was just like, God, how long do I have to hang out with Zach 2.0?
Right.
Let's just one way or another, let's get this over with. No, I don't care anymore.
I get out with this kid. I might as well just go to the nuke myself.
For God's sakes.
The masquerade of coexistence is over.
Yeah.
You mean between Sturgoy and humanity? No, between you and Isaac 2.0, you stupid kid.
He,
what's going to happen to the city? Now he cares.
Now is probably not the time to start caring. And maybe Zach 2.0 should have asked himself, what's going to happen to the city before he blew it apart with a nuclear bomb last year? Maybe just a thought.
Maybe.
Just
come on.
I mean, he's a kid. I want to give him a second chance, but for God's sake.
Yes, it was real funny. This official Twitter account of the Strain, at the Strain FX, put out a tweet that said, do you think we should give Zach 2.0 one more chance? And every response was hell no. Every response was GIFs and, you know, people shaking their head, you know, people saying, hell no. It was great.
Yeah. Well, they fooled me. So I say God bless.
So our heroes who escaped in the van arrive back. And who's there?
Strabone,
Quinlan. He's standing in the dark.
He's waiting.
Dutch says what I've been saying all these times. Can anybody just say, hey, guys, don't shoot, it's me.
Yoo-hoo.
Oh, my Lord. But our heroes, every single time they escape, which implies bad things about the Master, yet every time they try anything, they fail. They should all be willing to blow up this nuke because this is Charlie Brown kicking the football.
Right.
It's never happened. It's never going to happen. But yet, suddenly, when it's darkest timeline ever. Hey, guys, it's me, Sexy Fat. I got a plan. Follow me. And so now he reveals his plan. He couldn't have told them about this earlier. He's like, hey, let's go down to the secret place, which, does this really exist in New York? I know they have a big rock there, and they have a big big piece of granite that they're that Manhattan is built on, and that filters the water and this kind of stuff. And so apparently it's far down under the earth to where you can honestly blow up an atomic bomb and it won't affect anything. That's incredible.
I buy that. I buy that, and I love that we get one last
architecture
lesson.
This was so good. The show's awareness. Sorry to cut you off. The show's awareness to even say, boy, I thought I'd never get another one of these.
Yeah.
Great.
No, we get one last good one. Even Passive Aggressive calls him out on it.
Loved it.
And the lesson doesn't stop there. We learned about sandhogs.
What? Ooh.
Sandhogs. It's a family of people working side by side, fathers and sons.
Okay.
To bring water to the city of New York.
Man, that's a pretty good story.
It is. It is a pretty good story. So the plan does seem to be, okay, we have not been able to find the Master, so let's just, like, they knew. It's sort of like, you know, like in The Dark Knight Rises where, okay, so the Joker knew that all of these things were going to happen, and that's how he was going to escape. It was like, you know, okay, maybe. Like,
out of the blue, throwing shade at Christopher Nolan, he's probably saying, I had nothing to do with The Strain, Mork. Why are you throwing me under the bus like this?
Well, look, I was thinking of New York.
Gotham City.
Gotham City. Yeah, so, no. So, okay, so we have, so, the, but that, the plan seems to be, it doesn't seem to be their best plan.
And well, they got to hide the Duke. I guess that makes some sense. There's never a plan B.
Right. So, and why should there be?
Why should there be? Let me tell you what there is time for, though. There's time to watch some Newhart, or excuse me, the Bob Newhart show on TV.
There's always time for
that. The Sturgoy saw, hey, brah, it's me, Gus.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw Roman. and they saw Red Shirt here. Run out of the street.
We finally
someplace.
Learned his name. We finally learned his name right before he says goodbye.
I've learned his name because I don't know it. Do you remember his name?
Well, not at the moment, but I will remember it fairly quickly. Mickey. Was it Mickey? Was it a Mickey?
I don't think it was Mickey.
Okay, what do you think it was right now before we reveal it? I guessed Mickey. It was Marcus.
I was close. It was Marcus.
Okay. I was close.
So Roman, for some reason, is comfortable just hanging out in whatever room they're in here, watching TV.
Right.
Why aren't they attacking? Did this make sense to you? Why aren't the Strigoi attacking these guys?
I wasn't quite clear on that. And also, there was a bunch of silver in the back of the van, right?
One of those vans, I thought.
It looked
nowadays.
Like it from this angle, and they talk about it, but I wasn't sure. We're carrying on the silver. We're waiting for the silver. Are we going to do anything with the silver?
Once again, keep that thought in mind. But first, Marcus got Strigoid.
Yeah.
And he knows it, and yet he isn't willing to say it until he's called on it. Hey, show us. And Marcus is like, whatever you do, don't drag. Gus immediately shoots
yeah.
him. Like, he barely had time to finish that sentence.
He would say, whatever you do, don't shoot me.
Right in
That's
the face.
That's what he
right.
was trying to say. And he didn't have time.
Now, let me tell you, Gus has lost his brother.
Yeah.
Several friends.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost the Silver Angel. He's lost his mother.
Well, it's not like he had anything to do with the Master getting into New York
what,
City
he
in the just, first
He
place.
Lost the cream.
Yeah.
But when Marcus went, okay, That's man, it. I'm not hanging out here anymore.
That's it. Yeah. Gus can only handle so much. Yeah, and I can't say I blame him. You know, Marcus...
I can blame him.
Marcus...
I am totally blaming Gus. What? That's the thing that broke the camel's...
Well, he finally learned the guy's name. Like, the whole time...
Oh, is that what it
he's
was?
He's like, I'm not going to bother to learn your name because you're probably going to die in any of these episodes. And then, once he finally does learn his name, he's got to shoot him. It's like, if you grew up on a farm...
Yes.
You learn to never name anything that you're going to eat. And so I think, you know, Gus and his gang, he probably was like, all right, you're guy number one, you're guy number two. But when he finally learned
Do you think Gus knew his cousin's name?
I'm going to say no. It's a big family.
Now, when Gus is so frustrated, he said he's tired of this. You and me both, Gus.
Yeah, now.
Right.
Like, now is the time to actually, you know, be fed up.
Now, yeah. Somebody who is also tired of this is... Passive aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Zach got a lot of information from us.
Right.
He did, but he didn't find out about this secret place.
Yeah.
And he's talking about it, and he's like, you know, Quinlan would have blown away Zach 2.0, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And Dutch, what do you think she's saying? What do you think she's thinking? Because he's kind of monologuing at her. He's mentioning that when he locked Zach up in the room, Zach was calling to him, Dad, I'm trying to save your life.
Right.
Which seems like a load of bull, but...
Well, it totally does, and it pretty much is. So, but I think Dutch is just trying to figure out a way to get F to go, you know, blow himself up so she can... you know, retire into the country.
No, she's trying to get him to blow himself Fett, up, so right.
And possibly also Charlotte.
And Roman, yeah.
Well, because Dutch is not one to be, you know, labeled. She's...
No, that's a good point.
So Dutch, Fett, and Charlotte is forever.
But...
We have to repopulate the plan.
All right, hold on. Let's get back to the point of this scene. This is F coming to grips with the disaster that his son is.
Mm.
He's saying Zach is already corrupted.
Yeah.
Whoa. That is hardcore to finally accept it. To finally accept it. Now, he did abandon Zach after the bomb went off.
Right.
But
well,
after the first atomic bomb went off,
was,
Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I don't know about abandoning Zach. I mean, he saw Zach. Zach was trying to kill, I guess, everyone.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would call that abandonment. I mean, that was
right.
more like it was neglect, but like active
right.
abandonment. I don't know.
Listeners,
look, if the kid
listeners
is old
with,
enough
li-
to
listeners
blow
with
up a
children,
nuclear bomb,
listeners with children,
yeah,
tell us what was Zach's parenting.
Yeah,
did he abandon or did he neglect?
Which one, and did he deserve it?
Quinlan, a.k.a. Strabono, mm-hmm. Borno,
mm-hmm.
he's down here with Fett, and he comes up with yet another plan. He's like, you know what? I can get the master here. How does he know that?
He just does.
Right. But he also knows that this can save the city
mm-hmm.
that Fett has been teaching us history about for four seasons.
And thank God that he has. Basically, Strabone would not have come up with this plan if it wasn't for Fett. Like, when they were driving through, mm-hmm. Montana.
Yep.
And what else are you going to do in that truck?
Right. Nothing.
Except talk about architecture of New York City. So I'm glad.
So they've come up with a plan.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. This plan, which is, once again, finally the plan that worked,
mm-hmm.
that killed the master.
Mm-hmm.
How exactly did the Akido Lumen explain this plan?
Oh, man,
Wasn't it that the master had to see the face of God?
Well, I mean, I guess you could say that the face of God is in a nuclear weapon, and that's probably what Kim Jong-un would say. He's just a very religious man. But, yeah, I don't know. It did not seem to... It is a little frustrating, because if the Akido Lumen had just said, there's a lot of ways to get rid of the master, one way that definitely won't work is blowing him up with a nuclear bomb, then it would have actually...
Right. Since this is such an ancient book, if it had said...
Right.
If it had said that, I would have loved it.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in there. So,
all right, so let's pause for a second here, okay. Mork.
All right.
It's time for yet another. We're going to give away our third Got Your Milky Award.
Okay, okay.
This is for the category of the biggest Zach-ass.
Oh, boy.
So a lot of people may be a jackass,
uh-huh,
but it takes something really special to be a Zach-ass.
Wow.
So the nominees are...
Okay.
Zach 1.0.
Okay, all right.
Jim.
Oh, poor Jim.
Dr. Everett Barnes.
Oh, no. No one puts Dr. Everett Barnes into a corner.
Sanjay Desai.
Okay, all right, Sanjay.
Matt from Sears.
I mean, look, Matt got discounts on furniture and appliances.
Cream.
Okay, all right.
Zach 2.0.
Wow.
Who are you going to give the biggest Zach-ass on the strain to? Mork, let's hear your vote.
I got to say, you know, he wasn't with us long. I'm going to say Jim. I'm going to say Jim.
Jim was trying to save his wife who had cancer.
Well, yes, true that. Number one, that didn't really work out.
No, it was an epic fail.
Number two, he was one of the people who was instrumental in the master taking over, getting the upper hand.
Right.
And number three, he's responsible for yes. the most unfortunately named podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
No, that's
and
a good
YouTube.
Point. It was Jim who was always offering F the milk, so yep. he wouldn't drink alcohol.
Huh? Yeah. So if it wasn't for Jim, we would be slightly more relevant.
Listeners, if you can think of a bigger Zach-ass,
yes.
let us know
also,
on the Facebook page.
Please do. And also, listeners, based on what we've experienced together on the podcast, based on the show, there's still time for us to change the name of the podcast. So please give us your suggestions, facebook.com/PPodcasts, and let us know.
Continuing on. Is this the slow section of the show that you were talking about, Mork? Our heroes are trying to come to grips with, okay, this is the plan. Somebody's going to have to give up their life blow themselves up. And, of course, Dutch does not want her man, hey, Dutch, it's me, Fett. She doesn't want Fett to go. So sexy hack at Dutch.
Yeah.
She's trying to talk him out of it. She hates this plan.
There is a lot of navel gazing at this point in the show, which just sort of feels like they should have had plenty of opportunities to have these kinds of conversations before. At this point, if you think about what they've survived and how they survived it,
mm-hmm.
where one person's life's kind of like, yeah, okay, all right, this was fun, but she does seem to have very, very deep feelings for Fett, not so deep for Passive Aggress F.
No.
I'm wondering if the way that they spent their time together, each respective couple spent their time together in the bread truck, if that factored into this
she
at
took
all.
F in the shower.
So,
but
well, the euphemism of the bread truck.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yes.
Help me out here. The plan requires Quinlan to keep the master busy mm-hmm. and somebody else to blow up the bomb.
Right.
But once the master's down here, can't you just fire the bomb? Why even do you even have to keep the master busy? Just hit the flip switch. Quinlan can do it himself.
That is true. But, I mean, I think that you're right. You are correct. I think, though, that the master is supposedly the most powerful force that there is. So,
thank you for the compliment.
You're very welcome. So asking someone to multitask, you know, like they could do it, but Strabone couldn't even hang on to his sword.
Good point.
You know, so I don't think.
But why does it have to be you, Fett? It could be anyone. Well, it could be Roman.
Well, or you notice that Dutch never offered to do it herself.
No.
She was kind of like, yeah.
But Fett has reached the point where he's like, I'm sick of losing. Boy, that is an emotion I can understand. If you're on the gang here.
Sure.
With the Strain, they've lost so much.
You know who's not losing right now?
Who?
Charlotte. Charlotte's hanging out on her porch.
Love Charlotte. Oh, she made the right choice.
She made some good decisions. Charlotte is sort of the hot pie of the Strain.
For Game of Thrones fans, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert indeed.
All right, so,
Sexy Fett did not have an affair with Hot Pie.
So let me ask you this. Yeah. Fett and Dutch, they really haven't spent much time together because they were so separate.
Right.
Here they're getting this kiss. She doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Was that enough? Was the emotion of all their time together on this show, was that enough to make you feel the emotion of Dutch and her fear of losing Sexy Fett?
No, I don't. Just because, you know, Dutch had always been presented as the most... Again, she's also someone who's directly responsible for the master.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they should all blow up.
So she is someone who was... She always came off as extremely cynical, extremely pragmatic.
Right.
Always looking out for number one. So I buy that she would want Fett to stick around because she didn't want to grow into her late 20s after the...
Too late.
After the master had left us by herself.
Right.
But I don't buy that she was so in love with him. Do you?
No, it didn't come across ever.
Yeah.
I almost think they should have had one last bread check moment on top of the bomb to really signify.
I thought we were going to get a little Slim Pickens action. Yeah, for sure.
But instead we cut back up and Gus and Roman have found a new minivan and they're surrounded by Stagoy.
Yeah.
Well, from now, watch this. He's just going to drive over them. What a unique plan.
Yes.
The Strigoi, after all this time, they haven't come up with a better plan of how, you know, they stopped the train because they were smart. Where's the master? The master needs to control these bums.
Yeah, he's not really, if he was like hurting them, and I mean by them, I mean, you know, using the Strigoi to herd Gus or whomever towards a certain location, they'd be like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't really see, neither side seems to be trying that hard. And, you know, that's fine. I mean, the problem with Gus is he's never really been a central figure.
No, and even in this episode, they
send
him away from the heroes.
Yeah.
Mainly, yep. I understand it a bit. I guess you do want Dutch and Fett to have some alone time. How does Gus really have a heart-to-heart with any of these characters because he hasn't spent any time with them? But still, I mean,
Yeah, I'll go with that. Is that actually what Cetrakian was yelling? Was that what he was yelling a couple weeks ago?
Why won't you believe me, Mark?
It's hard.
All right, it's time for yet another award.
Okay.
I got your milky.
I love awards.
And the category is...
All right.
The... Oh, yeah, you are a character on the show award. So, Mark, we're going to go through the nominees.
Okay.
And you have to tell us who this character is.
All right. Fair enough.
Our first nominee, Felix.
Oh, Felix is Gus's buddy, played by the great Pedro Miguel.
Gus's buddy. Very
Arcel,
good.
This is something that this season didn't have a lot of, but... When he got it, and they were in the back of that van.
The police van.
I mean, you know, having a Strigoi in a confined space that was, you know, in a moving car. Those were some great turns that we had in earlier seasons. We sort of got away from that. Maybe people got bored with him, but I never did.
All right, he's our first nominee.
So that's Felix. Yes.
The Ancients.
The Ancients were the Strabones I guess, uncles who hung out in the basement who all, you know, got zapped.
All right.
And we never missed them, apparently.
Our third nominee, Lar.
Lar, oh, man. Lar.
I mean, just saying the name makes me giggle again with all Lar's silly comedy antics.
Yeah, help. Yeah.
Lar was like a lieutenant of Strabone's.
Oh.
Who was also a Strigoi, but yeah. He was a good guy Strigoi.
He's a good guy Lar, Strigoi,
and worked for the Ancients.
Gotcha.
The Silver Angel.
Silver Angel, sure. He's still looking out for the Tandoori Palace people.
Curtis Fitzwilliam.
Well, are we talking about Fitzwilliam's brother, or...
Well, that is the other one. Reggie Fitzwilliam.
Oh, so Curtis is the brother, and Reggie worked for Palmer.
Very good, Mork.
Yes.
The next nominee in the Oh Yeah, You Were a Character on the Show Award, Rob Bradley.
Oh, man. Didn't Rob Bradley play pickup tennis with Matt from Sears?
No. Rob Bradley was F's friend down in D.C.
Oh.
The guy who down in D.C. who helped him, you know, fight the evil, evil Everett Barnes.
Okay.
And, you know, set Lee Thomas up with it.
To her death.
F. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We also have Officer Frank Kolslowski.
Oh, he was Fitzgene.
No.
Geraldine.
Right. Justin
Fitzgeraldo. her right-hand man.
Her cop. Very good. Yeah. And our final nominee, Rudyard Finescu.
Rudyard Finescu was the guy who had his hands on the Akita Lumen for all these years.
Very good.
Yay.
All right. So who wins? Who wins the Oh Yeah, You Are a Character on This Show Award?
I'm going Rudyard Finescu. Number one, that is a fantastic name.
It is.
That is an all-time...
There's a bidding war great. For the Akito Lumen.
There's a bidding war. We don't know if he got to enjoy his...
Yeah, he was on the train that crashed. We never know what happened to him.
We don't know what he got to do with all those millions that he got. And someone else that you could have added to that list who's deserving of this Milky... would actually be the Akito Lumen, because...
Oh, yeah, you were on the show award.
It was 2 years of, we got to get this thing. Oh, my God, it's going to solve
all the problems. We got to read this thing.
We got to read it, and we got to hide it for half of the final season and not even look at it and then tear it apart. So, yeah, God bless.
Very good. Loyal listeners, at the end of this, we're going to be giving away this The Strain Season 3 For Your Consideration DVD they made for the Emmys, and we're actually... taping this as the Emmy Awards are winding down. So exciting, so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's not excited, but in fact sad, is Sexy Hacker Dutch. She goes to Passive Aggressive, and I wasn't sure. I thought, is she trying to talk F into setting off the bomb, or she's just trying to talk F into not letting Fett do it?
Well, I think she wanted the former to actually happen, but she was going to be so... I think she was hoping for Passive Aggressive to, you know, realize, oh, hey,
I've got nothing left. Right?
My wife's dead.
Yep.
I gave up on my kid, who also sort of destroyed New York City at least one time.
Yep.
Despite the fact that I'm a leading scientist, and as he's going to remind us in a flashback, he's an epidemiologist who has all sorts of scientific skills. He is a complete failure. So, yeah, the rational thing to do would just be pop that sucker.
Let's count the number of plans we've got. So we've got Fett's and Quinlan's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got kind of a side tangent plan of Dutch of, hey, talk Fett out of it.
Okay.
Then we've got the Master's plan where he's going to kill every human being who is still part of the partnership.
Right.
He's like, let's kill them.
Yeah.
And then the heroes, if they're still alive, their heartbeats will make them stand out so much we can go kill them. Dude, you're on an island.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, you can't leave an island because you blew up all the friggin' bridges.
Right.
Strigoi can't cross bodies of water. How are you going to live? How are you going to eat delicious blood, Master? I think your plan might actually be the dumbest. And then you're going to go track him down. Well, this was terrible planage.
Yeah. So Quinlan and Fett's plan was basically to lure the Master to get close to the bomb. The Master's plan was basically, I'm going to go get close to the bomb. there was some nice synchronicity in this episode where really, I mean, you know, it talked about, you know, duality, right. Yin and yang.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you can't have peace without war. And, you know, so I really think that it was a larger comment about, you know, about I Ching.
So there are two different elevators. Were they war hogs? Who were the people who dug this?
The sand hogs. Yeah.
There are two different elevators. We're going to blow them both and get them to the bottom.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in.
Now, one of the quirky things in the show is that in one of the scenes with Dutch, F was like, man, Gus isn't back yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Gus comes back,
what are you doing here?
F is like, I can't believe you're still alive. F, pick which way it is, F. But sure enough, Gus tells him, hey, there's Stagoy, a bunch of Stagoy 30 blocks away. How, you know, Manhattan, there should be Stagoy everywhere. This is just poor management by the master. An epic collapse. This is worse than my Atlanta Falcons losing the Super Bowl. This is how poorly this is planned. How poorly this is planned.
Well, at least the Falcons were up ahead.
The master was ahead. Come on.
Well, he was ahead.
I think he was up more than 28-3. This for international listeners.
Just barely.
Wikipedia, that pain that it caused me.
Yeah. Tweet at Fit and Trim if you want any remembrances of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, let me tell you, that Super Bowl was like 11 months ago. Also 11 months ago in the Knickerbocker pawn shop.
Oh, smoothly done, Bubba.
It's me. Cetrakian. Oh. Dr. Goodweather, join us.
You know,
he and Fett.
Mr. Cetrakian, your voice sounds so gravelly. Here, why don't you take a little bit of water? I gave you some hot water with a little bit of honey. Why don't you do a little gargling for us?
This won't help at all. What I need is some white in my eyes. Yeah. I'm alive, white in the eyes. Yeah.
That was perfect. So
now listen to me, Fett and Doctor. The toll will be mental as well as physical.
Oh, okay. Sort of like
watching Mr.
What do you mean there? Listen, you're an MDBdiologist.
That's what he was yelling.
I'm a pawn shop dealer.
That's what he was yelling when he went out.
We are fighting.
I'm an epidemiologist.
We are fighting Stagoy. You and I believe Dr. Martinez will be able to help us. But I have to warn you, F. Goodweather.
Mm-hmm.
This fight may, in the end, cost you everything.
Oh, okay. Like, even Fett's badge?
No, it didn't cost that, Mork.
High five. Thank you. Where did he keep the badge? Did he always have it?
He had to protect the badge.
Okay, all right. So he always had it somewhere.
What if he gave it to Charlotte? But it's there at the end of the episode.
He got it back.
And that's why Dutch is suddenly like, hey, how have you been? Like, they don't talk every day.
Right.
Everybody else you know is dead. Let's not die. But anyway, okay, so what did you think of this flashback? Was it good to see? It was certainly great to see actor David Bradley as Cetrakian again.
Always.
Giving a real sour message to our hero. Always good.
Yeah. It was not the kind of thing that really needed to be underscored at this point.
Yeah, you would have imagined that Cetrakian would have said it every day.
All right, everybody, here, I've made you some soup. And you'll probably have to give up everything and lose everything you love while we fight the Stagoy. Anybody need spoons? Who needs spoons?
But we still have soup.
Here's a spoon. Now fighting the Stagoy.
You're
going to lose everything you have.
It's a silver spoon. It's a brief flashback. The one thing, I like flashbacks to last a certain amount of time. There's no clear, you know, doesn't have to be at least 90 seconds, doesn't have to be at least, but in my mind, it has, a flashback has to at least be long enough for you to get used to the character's fake hair pieces. and it was too quick. I wasn't quite reaccustomed.
It was the right amount of time.
Yeah.
Our heroes are out kind of walking, and it's daylight. We suddenly went from night to morning has come. The Stagoy 30 blocks away, still haven't attacked.
Right.
Maybe they're like,
that's Gus and Roman. Who gives a crud about them?
Well,
keep looking for
Gus,
Fett.
Gus and Roman, after they killed Marcus, you know, their van is surrounded by Stagoy. And they just
drive
all over. They had to do was kill Marcus. And then the Stagoy was like, eh, we're good. They just let him in.
Right.
So
I'm full.
So they're just,
they're talking.
They're playing a little
And this had to have been the craziest point.
Hey, Doc.
Passive aggressive. I want you to give your son Zach 2.0 one more chance,
I did. What do you say? I did when I went to that damn custody hearing. I gave him one more chance.
No. Okay, Doc. Okay, I want you to give him a third chance.
Okay, the third chance. The third chance was after he lost my baseball glove that was signed by Scooter Reese.
But hold on. Okay. I want you to give him a fourth chance.
A
fifth chance.
No,
nope,
not fifth.
Listen, Doc.
Look, I am not only a scientist, but I'm a petty parent.
Look,
I keep a list of all the extra chances from second chance to 675th chance I've given.
Listen to me, Doc.
Yeah.
I know it seems impossible now, but there were so many things left.
Impossible would be a vampire zombie taking over the entire world. That would be impossible, Fett.
But also impossible is me and my pop. We left a lot of things unsaid.
Wait, what?
Like, if he was here now, I would have said, Dad, I'm not going to be an architect when we kill the master and things get back to normal. I'm still just going to hunt rats because that'll cheer me up when they're back.
He'd rather have you be an architect. I can see that. I mean, number one, architects, lots and lots of job security.
Yeah, and after everything got destroyed in the bomb,
hello,
they're gonna have a lot of...
There's still time.
See a Sturgoy spying on them. And guess what? The master knows. He's like, once we follow him back to his base of operations, maybe the master's point is,
I've got a lead from the front or the Sturgoy won't respect me.
That could be.
You know, he's like afraid to lead from the behind. He wants to destroy the Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, come, Zach. Come and watch me destroy your father. Zach pulls out a frigging automatic weapon.
Yeah, it was a gift. It was a gift from the master. He's killed a tiger. And I love watching, actually. So they're in this beautiful,
beautiful
place somewhere in Central Park. And there's Sturgoy, like, milling about. It's like we're watching an episode of Bizarro West Wing, where the Sturgoy are milling about, like, I've got to go here. I've got to... Like, what? They have one thing to do.
You mean the other Sturgoy are
the
just
other Sturgoy,
walking through?
Like, they look like they're running errands, like some very important errands. It's like, no. You got
well, now
one
that
thing.
Abby's dead, somebody's got to clean up this dump.
That's true. Well, they not even, because they just left the building. They don't even bother cleaning up.
Nope.
It's terrible.
All right, so I said that I wanted that giant group of Sturgoy to come and fight.
Yeah.
And I guess for budgetary reasons, Quinlan explains, you know, don't kill them all. You've got to get them into this narrow passageway, which will limit their numbers, aka limit the number of people we have to put in Sturgoy costumes. Very good thinking, Quinlan.
That is true. What do you think, Bubba? You are someone, you have a keen eye, you have a razor sharp intellect.
Yep.
How many people do you think, number one, played Sturgoy over the course of the show?
Oh, that's a great question.
And two, how were there, like, actors who regularly played Sturgoy, or did they recast them, you know, every week?
This is going to sound terrible. Mm-hmm. Sturgoy all look alike to me. So
oh,
I
that
think,
is terrible.
I think,
how dare you?
I think based on some of the giant shots, they probably got close to 100 Sturgoy in some shots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they all had to go full makeup on, because if you're in the back, you know, maybe you don't have to go full Sturgoy makeup on.
All right.
But I bet about 100. Looking at the Sturgoy as they come attacking our heroes, now that it's dark again, I suppose it's still winter and there isn't much daylight. These Sturgoys have kind of like
It's nuclear winter, too.
Oh, good point. But the Sturgoy kind of have like a set costume. You know what I mean? It's like dirty jeans and some sort of winter jacket.
Yeah.
Sturgoy, and it's a dark jacket. And the master, he set these scouts out. He's like, find him. The heroes come out. It's like, hey, it is us. We are the heroes. And the master allows these people to get God.
Right.
And then the floods can come in. And once again, our heroes, they have some weapons that they've needed this whole time. They have needed these weapons for a long time. What has taken them so long?
I don't know. nothing. There's no good reason. And I got to say, Palmer here, played by the great Jonathan Hyde.
Yeah, great job. I do like him a lot.
I definitely like him a lot. He's a lot of fun. I do miss Eldritch Palmer a little bit. But it seems like, is it just me, or has he lost some weight? Is it the Strigoi makeup?
Well, or? You know, what do you have to eat?
Oh, he's got blood.
But why not send
and
some
cocoa?
Why not send some feelers out there who are fast?
There's some mongrels.
Mongrels who are fast. I mean, these, you know, generic Strigoi, I hate to badmouth them so much, but when they get hit with this silver blast, they're just punks. They don't run fast. They got nothing. Right. Make another Ikorst, buddy. And I know Ikorst screwed up, so maybe you're like, okay, his style Strigoi is pointless. But do something, man.
Well,
come on.
That style Strigoi did actually have some style. These guys, yeah, they all look... I mean, maybe it's just that they shot in, you know, cold weather, and we're like, oh, well, let's give these poor people a...
give these poor Strigoi some jackets. All right, I love this moment here where... The master is ignorantly here in the battle, but the master sees F looking at him. F sees his son. The master raises a hand and puts his hand around Zach 2.0. Yeah. Oh, that's got to hurt F.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. How could you do that, Zach 2.0? How could you be on the side of the baddies? Oh, so bad.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem... You know, the only reason that Zach had for hanging out with the master was supposedly because he still got to hang out with his mom. But we never really, you know, I don't understand why the master couldn't recreate lovely Kelly.
Yeah.
And he did kind of in Zach's mind. But,
right.
You know, why not walk in there with not just Zach 2.0, but lovely Kelly?
Yes, that's what I'm wondering. This is so ridiculous. So preposterous. The master has so many wimps and so many soldiers. Just send them. This is so ridiculous. He's so close that he gets hit with the silver grenade, as does Zach 2.0.
Yeah. So Zach really should have the same grill that Cream had because of that silver bomb, but he doesn't.
Right.
He doesn't at all. But the master, he's got a weapon.
That he hasn't used enough. He's used this before, you know, the sound of...
With the SEAL team and those
guys. Right, yeah. He starts flapping his, I guess, the tongue worm in his throat. Great effect, creepy effect. Interesting that our heroes are effect, but Zach 2.0 isn't. How is that possible?
Well, none of our heroes have that same cool haircut as Zach 2.0.
That blocks your ears from this painful sound.
It totally does.
But... The master gets too cocky, and who gets him? Quinlan, with his super speed, knocks him into the elevator. This elevator must be lined with silver. Why?
Yeah.
Because Quinlan smashes the master's face against the elevator, and he starts burning. He starts pain.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
That was great.
Sadly, Zach 2.0 also got knocked into the elevator with his gun. And that means there's going to be a change of the plan. F has to go down and save his son. He takes the last elevator where that was supposed to be Fett.
Right.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Did you see this coming?
You know, I kind of saw it coming, but I was glad that this just happened and there wasn't a... Guys, I have to go. There wasn't a conversation.
I'm glad there wasn't a conversation either. I completely agree.
This is one of the rare times where F just took action, didn't think about it, didn't overthink it, just did it. It was a little... He was only able to do it because Sexy Dutch and Sexy Fett were making goo-goo eyes at each other. I mean, the plan was Strabone and the Master going down the elevator.
Right.
As soon as that happens, that Sexy Fett is going down in the other one so he can blow it up. And instead, he decides to give one final hug to Sexy Hacker Dutch. So F has his moment.
Yes, he has his moment. But also, I understand you want to blow the line on the elevator so the master can't take it back up.
Yeah.
But why not ride the elevator down, F? Why do you blow the line and then fall, what is it, 700 feet? How far did he fall down into the center of the earth?
Yeah, 800 feet. Well,
my Lord.
Fett did say
something.
That
would kill you. You and Bean can't fall.
Well, no. But Fett did say something about how, like, oh, well, once they go a certain speed, there's an old safety system that'll kick in.
Right.
Like, he did mention that briefly. Would you have preferred that if F followed them down and died on impact?
I would have believed him.
That would be the first thing. That would be the first believable thing.
Right. Okay, listeners, it's time for another Got Your Milky Award.
Oh, I love it.
This category is best passage from the Ocado Lumen.
Oh, man. Are you going to read it in whose voice?
Well, actually, this is a passage that should be in the Ocado Lumen.
Oh.
It's famous quotes from the show.
All right.
And so you get to pick your favorite quote of all.
All right.
All right. So the first quote from Vasily Fett.
Mm.
The thing about rats is they always have a back door.
Mm.
That's why it's so tricky to catch them. Vasily Fett. All right.
Okay.
That's quote one.
All right.
Quote two. Time is up, 8230385.
Okay.
Eichhorst.
All right.
Thomas Eichhorst. Quote three.
This is the part where the whore declares herself a virgin.
Mm.
Eldridge Palmer.
Oh.
And he was saying that to Fitzwilliam.
What?
Fitzwilliam was like, hey, I don't want any part of this. And he's like, you've been helping me enough, you know.
Oh.
Love that quote. The
Man.
Part where the whore declares herself a virgin. All right. Our next nominee.
If you're planning on eating Mexican tonight, you're going to choke. I promise you that.
Wow.
From Gus.
That's pretty good.
The next quote nominee. We don't need any more plans. What we need is a win.
Oh.
From Passive Aggressive.
Okay. All right.
And the final nominee for a quote that should be a passage in the Ocado Lumen.
All right. There's no question.
What wins, Mork?
It's Cetrachian's love call. I think it's the only possible. There's some good ones in there. Palmer had some good lines, for sure. Giddy as a schoolboy, I think, should be a section of Giddy as a schoolboy. Thinking of Coco, of course. But no, those are some.
All right, well, listen, we had to cut a lot of one. You know, one I always quote is Cetrachian to F. Why won't you believe me? I mean, he said that like 50 times the first season.
Don't you see this giant heart and I've kept in a jar that's still beating?
Oh, that R.I.P. jar.
R.I.P. jar.
All right, so let's get to it. The final battle, AKA the last stand. Our heroes have fallen down and they can't get up.
Mm. Mm.
So it is time. Quinlan has super speed, superpower. The Master has super speed, superpower. They are down low.
Mm-hmm.
The human beings among us, meaning F and Zach, have kind of been knocked silly, knocked unconscious. Zach's waking up and he wakes up in time to see the big fight.
Yeah.
These two are going at it. And while there were great moments in this, and I'm going to highlight how great they were, this fight should have been more. This should have been something. This should have been something really incredible. Now, I don't know if they just can't get the actor who plays the Master now to be a great person, but with all that makeup, they could have a stuntman do this.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed some of the effects. I enjoyed, you know, some of the things it looked like they were doing. I mean, you could really tell how strong these guys were and how fast they were moving.
Man, my favorite moment was when the Master throws Quinlan up to the ceiling, smashes him, and then he falls back down. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
While this is happening up top, a bunch of our heroes are having to kill the evil Strigoi. What's so interesting is the Master can control them down in this friggin' tunnel. Like, how's he get his signal out?
Well,
that is like a miracle.
Yeah, I mean, that is actually...
Is this like AM radio where it can bounce along the walls and come out? That's the only thing I could
explain. Well, it's a ham radio is what it is. It's not an AM, it's a ham radio.
10-4, good Master.
Yeah, there is a Strigoi, like, in Kansas who's just wreaking havoc right now because of where he is.
Now, I think... Is it tough that Quinlan didn't win? I almost felt a bit bad that Quinlan wasn't the one to kill the Master. This is the guy who's been trying to do it for 2,000 years. So
he's been trying for 2,000 years.
I almost thought he'd do it, but he didn't.
Yeah, no, I was totally fine with him not doing it. I mean, he's you know, he's a soldier, and he was...
He got in some good looks.
He got...
Some good licks, excuse me.
He certainly did. But going back 2,000 years, how many times did... He actually confront
a handful of times.
So basically, once every 600 or 700 years. So one of the first thing that happens is in this confrontation, because it looks like the Master's got the upper hand.
Oh yeah.
And then Quinlan Strabone I mean, it's kind of a... I think it counts gross. As a low blow.
Oh, it was gross.
This is not a gentlemanly
move. Grabs him
move.
Right by the neck balls and rips him out.
He rips out his neck balls.
Oh!
God, it just... It hurts to look at it and then think about it. And then, but he has... Yeah, he's got some of the meteor worms.
Yeah, that's painful, man.
And the master is probably...
He's PO'd,
but he's hurt. He is actually, like, in danger. So in this sequence here, there's probably many of the things that I did not see come and happen in this final sequence, which is
cool.
Why
okay.
I'm giving this. So that was number one, where he's clearly losing Quinlan, but he's also he looks like he's mortally wounded the master. He hasn't killed him, but
yeah.
he's wounded him.
Right, but as long as that red worm survives. See, that's the tricky thing, because yeah. they had killed, I almost want to say a... Did they kill Bolivar version of the master, but then the red worm snuck out through a sewer, and so...
Right, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it's still, after all these years, a bit confusing. Somebody who's a bit confused because he knocked himself out on this stupid plan to just drop 800 feet in an elevator, it's F.
It
F comes
F.
out, he sees the bomb, and then he looks in the opposite direction. There's Zach and the master. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, the master just smushed... If the master is going to call you an abomination, you must be pretty bad. Because, yeah, he just kicks, he crunches Quinlan's head underneath his very delicate handmade boots. So they notice F, and Zach, he pulls up his big old rifle, and he doesn't even wing him, but man, he lets him know that, hey, buddy, I've killed tigers with this thing.
Yeah.
I can take you out.
He missed on purpose. Let's debate this. Did Zach 2.0 miss his dad on purpose?
Oh, that warning shot? For sure. Yeah.
Man, that was real close for a warning shot. Come on. This thing must have a kickback like you wouldn't believe.
This kid plays a lot of Call of Duty. What else is he going
to
do?
No, I think we're supposed to believe he missed him on purpose, too. But that Zach 2.0, that's too close for comfort. The master, who has super speed, who could just run and kill F and then...
Normally,
you don't have to worry about. Oh, you think some of his power from his neck?
Yeah,
got.
I mean, he's just had this major battle. Half his face is burnt off. His neck is open.
You know what hurts him the most is when his son Zach 2.0 won't kill F.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Really hurts the master.
Yeah, like all.
And why won't Zach 2.0 do it? You want to talk about unbelievable things. Now we're supposed to believe this evil SOB Zach 2.0 won't do it. He is a total Zach-ass, but this is too far for him.
That is fair. And I think one of the things when they killed Abby, or when he allowed the feeler to kill Abby, that for me was just, okay, if you're going to do that, then you are irredeemable.
Oh, yes. And, of course.
You know, so... And you know what? Even with what we're going to see here, he is still irredeemable.
He died irredeemable.
Yeah. He still did not make up for it. So, yeah. So, there's going to be a little bit of Bond villain monologuing going on.
Oh, yeah.
And it gives Zach enough time to... Now, this is not the swiftest move I've seen on this show. This is a move that I think would, in terms of the speed... In terms of how it was executed, I mean, Zach just turns on him and then talks to him for, it feels like it's 30 seconds.
But Zach shoots him too.
He does.
Incredible.
He definitely does.
But the master, give it up for the master. My tongue's ripped out. I've been shot multiple times, but I still got enough strength from my hatred of my son, Zach 2.0, to shove him filled with worms.
Yeah, that was this. So this is a great move because it seemed like...
What we suspected.
Yeah. This was a trick, and man, was it disgusting. This is one of the grossest
things. We thought the master was going to become Zach. I kind of thought this was where it was going all along, and then F would have to kill his son.
Right.
Instead, nice switcheroo. That's how it got up to 7 for me, because I didn't believe some of this drama. But there is a worm puke on F.
Oh, it is.
And F, the scientist.
Yep.
Oh, gets all the worms, including the infamous red worm.
The red worm.
F is the master.
That was...
Why isn't Zach thinking this is what I always wanted? I wanted the master and a dad. Now I've got both.
Now he's got both. Okay, so here's one pretty significant issue that I have with the ending. So we cut back up top real quick, and we see that the Strigoi are kind of like, they're sort of confused. So, and Fett,
yeah,
and
it's Dutch, like, it's like they can't even move. There's, you know, they were programmed to attack. You can't just keep following your current programming.
Well, you know, it's they need constant reinforcement, much like the youth of America. So Fett points out this means one of two things: either the master's dead or he's finding a new host.
How does Fett know this?
I assume,
hashtag reasons.
I assume because of he remembers what happened after Bolivar.
I
don't know, but you know.
Oh my!
Look, the point is, how did F?
Yes,
is now the master.
Love it. Love this twist. Works. Wish we had spent more time with it.
Yeah, that could have been great. F is now the master, but it doesn't seem. He does a little of his own, Bond villain monologue. And so the one thing that we know about when you become a Strigoi, your memories, and they've talked about it multiple times these past few episodes, if you turn, hey, you know, like Dutch even says it to Gus, hey, don't get turned and give our location away.
Right.
So after F becomes the master, you would think that he would have all of the knowledge about not only what Zach might be trying to do to him,
right,
but also what's going on, you know, upstairs. And it doesn't feel like he's his guard is way too down. Now maybe he's a little rusty because okay, he just got turned, but it seems like Zach outsmarted him, which again caught me off guard.
Boy.
But
if Zach 2.0 outsmarts you, what does that say about you?
Yeah, no bueno. No.
So unlike previous turns, even though F got totally effed with all those worms and the red worm, he's still himself for a little bit of time. Like, it felt like everybody else almost turned immediately.
Right.
F is still himself a little bit of time. He's trying to set off that bomb.
Yeah.
And he can't.
Well, he's trying to set off the bomb. And then he's about to set off the bomb, number one. Number two, kill his son in the process.
Sure.
And he apologized. I wish I could spare you. Sure, all that. But then he turns.
Love it.
And becomes the master. And
love Master F.
And I dug the voice. I think it was the jacket. That voice and that jacket was a very, very cool combo. He knows the master should remember that Zach
just turned on him
and is not actually.
Yeah, but that he turned on Palmer. He didn't turn on Mimi. That shut you up. See?
Well.
The strain shut up, Mork. I love it.
Finally.
I love it.
Finally.
So, yes.
So this is a great, this is actually like a great little moment. We're getting F, Master F doing the master hug.
Yeah.
He's got the eye slit blinking and kaboom. And
right.
Zach just is like, and you know, hey.
Zach knew his dad was dead because his dad would never hug him like that.
Oh, man. Oh, Bubba, that's too soon.
Up top, our heroes have escaped out, but they need to escape even further because this bomb that won't destroy the city.
Yeah. Well, I actually thought what was needed right here would be a detailed architectural explanation.
So back in the 5th century.
Yeah.
What? If you had set a nuke bomb here off back in the 1915s when we were getting water into the city.
Uh-huh.
You did it.
Yeah.
You did it.
This is a nice moment.
It's a great moment. Our heroes lived. They survived. Somehow, some way, our heroes did it.
Yeah, I got some.
And by our heroes, I mean Zach 2.0, because he's the one who did it.
Hashtag hero. Hashtag hero. And then something very surprising is we just sort of cut to this.
Immediately.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, everything is okay. And
because they're dumbass Strigoi who didn't go to school, who don't have the master's knowledge.
They're not architects.
No.
Yeah, there is a nice little moment where it's like, oh, yeah, we decided to keep some of them alive just for research purposes.
A.K.A. The sequel.
Yeah. So I thought that was I do wonder how they're supposed to keep those munchers alive.
You just throw blood in. Borno ate, what, goat blood? He ate a lot of different blood. You don't have to give him human blood.
All right, that's fair.
Roman, what about Roman's happy ending? I thought Roman was dead. So the fact Roman becomes the new version of the Stoneheart Group by owning all this property, running the Fed, loved it. Happy ending for him.
Sure.
Hey, brah, I'm in the country. They didn't get that actress back from the Tandoori Palace. They couldn't have him with a girl.
Right.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there.
And look what Dutch did.
Well, Dutch has repaired the internet, apparently. And is she in? Is that the same
room?
Yes,
the same set.
Is it Desai's office?
Desai's office slash Feraldo's.
Feraldo's command center.
So good. Oh. You know you had to have it.
They had to keep
and it. And most importantly, they give us an update on Charlotte.
Yeah, maybe that's where Gus is driving.
Hey, bro, I heard there was a good single woman out here.
He's just honking his horn somewhere in Montana.
Love it.
Yeah.
There no monuments exist at the blast site.
No.
No plaque.
No, no plaque.
Only a handful of us really know what happened because we didn't tell anybody else for reasons. Hashtag reasons.
Hashtag reasons.
Instead of carrying around Cetrachian sword and cane like I should, I'm back to my piece of rebarb, and I'm finding rats, and it's good.
He's finding not just rats, but this is probably the most rat poop I've ever seen on a TV show.
Yeah, not in our apartments, but...
Yeah. Yeah. That is... And he's just strolling around. He's got the badge back. Life is good.
Oh, my Lord. He's so happy. People are out walking people at the park. But they're beautiful. All alone. Do you notice this? It's like everybody's died. We're all alone now.
Yeah.
Those of us that survived.
One thing that wasn't quite clear that I actually think could have been like a fun little last scare was, you know, Dutch was in this still very murkily purposed reproductive facility,
right,
that Desai and I-Course were running. What if something did happen to her in there?
And, yeah, what if she had her own Borno?
Yeah, she had her own, or she was pregnant, or something like that. That could have been a fun little thing. And maybe she is, for God's sakes. We don't actually know. But they don't seem to be too hot and heavy.
No. The fact, I mentioned this earlier, the fact that they saw each other and it's like, hey, how have you been? I'm thinking to myself, what?
Right.
Are you crazy?
Yeah.
How have you been? Well, she's the only one alive, you know. Well, outside of Gus, who left town.
Well, a lot of the time, after you survive a nuclear explosion with someone while trying to save the world from, you know, a zombie vampire Armageddon,
yeah,
you drift apart.
Now, what did you think?
You lose touch.
What did you think of this moment when they both check out the sexy person running past them? We both like women.
I love it. Dutch is still Dutch.
Now, let me say that who always got the voiceover all these years? It was Cetrachian.
Oh.
One day we'd get it. And so the natural person who would follow in Cetrachian's footsteps.
Hey, Doc. Hey, Dead Doc. It's me. I'll do the voiceover in your set. Okay, you ready? Let me tell you something. The master used the bonds of human love, he did, as a conduit for the strain. He tried to destroy us. He tried to take my badge. He never understood love.
Mm.
No, no, no. And in the end, it was love that saved us all.
It's true.
And gave us the world.
Aww.
Our world back.
Yeah, like with hardly any damage
done
to it. So
what love saved us? Zach's love of his dad?
Zach's love for the part of F that was still in the master. Yeah.
Man, when you say it like that, I'm getting a bit teary-eyed.
No, well, I can't say I blame you.
Poor Zach 2.0. We gave you such grief.
We really did.
And just because you were an irredeemable Zach ass.
Yeah.
You still loved your dad. I love you, Dad. I'm going to call my dad right now.
Do you want to? Let's get him on the phone.
Well, it's only 12:35. In Atlanta, where
he'll be up.
And that's it. Four years it built to this moment.
To quote Dutch.
Yeah.
Is it over?
Let me ask you something.
Yeah,
if we went back to the end of season one and we told you, hey, this is going to end with the master in F and Zach setting off a bomb
to
kill them all. Mm. I think you would have said, "Ooh, wow, that sounds like a good idea."
Yeah.
Yet in actuality, I love these characters. I kind of love the parts of the show that I love. But still, for me, only a 7 out of 10 for this last episode. I feel bad that I'm so tough on it. Listeners, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast. That's the word double, the singular P, the word podcast, plural, facebook.com/doublepodcast. Let us know how you feel at the end of this 4-year journey.
Tell us.
How do you feel? Do you want to give a ranking to the whole series as a whole?
Oh, boy.
Or just save it for the Facebook page. Sorry to put you on the spot like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say that, you know, unfortunately, I think that if you know, just to go back real quick to what you were saying a second ago, if at the end of season one you had told me how this would end it, I'd probably be, oh, man, that's really cool.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I didn't think it would end in such cool fashion was because there have been a lot of missed opportunities.
Oh, yes.
In these last couple of seasons.
Without question.
For something really cool. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think for me, this show, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the books written by Chuck Hogan and Guillermo del Toro, whose new movie just won a bunch of awards at the Venice Film Festival, there's only 3 books in the series.
Yeah, it's
right?
a trilogy.
So I just... For me, it felt like, well, maybe 3 seasons would have been a little better.
Well, it did not stick to the books. This is way off from the books. Spoiler alert.
What?
Close your ears for the next 30 seconds if you don't want to know how the books go. I looked it up on Wikipedia. The books, Fett does survive.
All right.
F does die.
Good.
But Fett and Nora raise Zach, or a child maybe named F. I forget what it is. They do something.
All right. How do they spell out Satrakian scream in the book?
Blah, 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 blah. All right, we're not going to answer that. What we are going to do, listeners, is tell you that although the Got Your Milk podcast is sadly ending right now.
Oh.
Yeah, that's actually going to bring a bigger tear to my eye than Zach's love for his father.
Well, we can still, you know, get together to talk about the strain. We just won't record
it. The Double P Podcast Network wants you to like the Facebook page.
Please.
Like that Facebook page because we're going to keep talking. We're going to keep blathering. We're going to keep impersonating these wonderful characters.
That's why we're here.
On all our other podcasts. I've mentioned it before, but currently we still are doing podcasts about Ash versus Evil Dead. We're doing podcasts about Game of Thrones, which is going to be gone for a long time. Great way to catch up on it is downloading all our podcasts. We're doing the great cult series Twin Peaks that's ongoing right now. Plus, we have just kind of a generic podcast entitled the Double P Podcast Network where we do one-offs where we talk about anything. If there's something you want us to do a one-off on, like, ooh, review this movie, or ooh, give me your thoughts on the Strange spiritual successor, who knows what it might be, let us know. We really do this to interact with you guys. You guys have been so great in all your feedback for these 4 years, and we love you.
We really do, and we really appreciate it. And I think we've got one last official duty.
We do.
To do. So here, let me mix up. There's a lot of names.
Mix them up. So we're going to be giving away a Season 3 copy of The Strain for your consideration DVD, and it's going to go to one of you listeners who was kind enough to give us a written iTunes review, and the winner is... Oh, I love how you say this person's name, so why don't you read it because it's so good. It's something like A3 Baxty. Is that how you say it? How do you say it, Mark?
I forgot. A3 Baxty.
A3 Baxty.
A3 Baxty.
So it's the letter A, the number 3, Baxte. You have won
this
really cool exclusive prize that... When you see it, you'll be so happy, you'll scream. Rah, 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 rah.
Forever and ever.
Final Got Your Milky Award we're going to give out, Morg.
Yes.
Is your favorite impersonation that I do of Strain characters. So,
my favorite impersonation that you do is definitely when... It's sort of halfway through the show.
Yeah.
And your accents for Sexy Fett and Gus have completely become completely interchangeable.
Hey, bro. What are you saying? What are you saying?
So it's my favorite is when you think you're doing Fett, but you're really doing Gus, or vice versa.
Hey, Mark, it's me.
Dutch.
Quinlan.
Listeners, that's the final one. go to our Facebook page. Tell us which one of my terrible impersonations you like the best. For everybody here at the Double P Podcast Network, my name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
Mork is at Extraordinary. That's Extraordinary with the W in front of the final R.
And you will find us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Double P Podcast. The next time you need somebody who...